Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to the weekend edition of the show. I'm so glad you made time to listen today. Well, I was so excited to talk with Jimmy about his book, and we got such a huge response from the day that we had him on the program that you can listen to that show as well as hear the highlight at our website at myfaithradio.com. And if you know someone who's feeling a lack of direction in their faith journey, or maybe you yourself can use some encouragement and focus, I'd encourage you to share this show by going to our website and passing it along. Well, our Spring Share event is coming up in 3 days, and we are hoping to hear from you. You may know that our Faith Radio is a listener-supported ministry, which means that we really can't do what we do without you, without your prayers, without your support. So let me ask you, would you consider joining the Faith Radio team as we share Christ with the world? You can call in and give a gift, or you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and donate right there safely. And if you're unable to call next week, just know that you can give online anytime by going to that same website. Well, one more thing I want to highlight is our Faith Radio blog. We have several wonderful contributors who write on a regular basis, and they talk about handling money, faith, culture, parenting, devotional life, and so much more. It's just a great place to go for wisdom and encouragement, and we frequently have them on our programs to talk about what they've written. I really invite you to take a look at their posts at our website, and of course, you can share those with friends as well with a click of a button. That's myfaithradio.com. Jimmy Page is an inspiring communicator, challenging sports teams, businesses, schools, and ministries with his energy and passion. As a 20-year leader in the medical fitness industry, he hosts Fit Fridays, a radio show promoting healthy living. He and his wife, Ivalice, I think I'm saying her name right, started a cancer foundation called BelieveBig.org following her victory over cancer. Jimmy's an author of 4 books, a coach, trainer, and a triathlete, and serves as vice president of field ministry for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Jimmy and Ivalice were college sweethearts, and they reside in Maryland with their 4 children, Jimmy, Jacob, John, and Gracie. Jimmy, welcome back to the show. Glad to have you with us again today.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's been too long. You know that?
Definitely. Come on. Let's put it on like a monthly deal.
I think we should. We should get you back talking fitness, because whenever we do talk about that, we get a great response from people. So that would be fun to bring you on. Yeah, bring it on a regular basis. So as you know, we like to start talking scripture right away, and you chose Psalm 90:12, beautiful verse. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Talk to us about why you chose that passage.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, for me, I know we only get one shot at this thing, and I have a real sense of urgency. You know, back when the Olympics were rolling through the summer, we went to the Olympic training facility, and we took a tour of that facility, and as we walked through and saw the legends of the United States who have competed over many, many years and decades, and on the walls, there were these quotes everywhere, these inspiring quotes, and one of them, I'll never forget, said, "Enter these doors with an unrelenting sense of urgency."
Wow.
Enter these doors with an unrelenting sense of urgency. And I immediately went to this verse, Psalm 90, verse 12, that says, "Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." It's this sense that, you know, every day counts, and we need to make sure that every day counts. You know, we need to count our days and make them count. And I'm reminded continually that if I realize how short life is, that it really is one opportunity, and that I've been given this gift of life, and I've been given gifts and passions and a great purpose by God, that every day matters, every moment matters, and I need to maximize it. So this verse is kind of that rallying cry of, hey, make today count.
I love it, Jimmy. I'm so glad you're here. And we do have to get you back on a regular basis, because you're just a shot in the arm. You know that? but, you know, your wife battled cancer. My husband's battled cancer. I battled Lyme disease. I think when you come into contact with the fragility of life, it really inspires you to squeeze every drop out of it, doesn't it?
There's no question. 4 years ago, when my wife was diagnosed with cancer, 4-stage colon cancer, it was a wake-up call for us. I mean, I would say that I felt like we had a great marriage. I felt like, you know, we were dialed in, but it really kind of exposed that we were missing some stuff. We were so busy, and pushing so hard that we were really missing out on a lot of moments that really would have been memory makers. And so it was a wake-up call, and I think you're right. I think it tells us again that, hey, if tomorrow wasn't promised, what would you do with today? And this verse is that for
me. Wow. Well, you know, based on the book and prepping for the book, every day I post a faith question on my Facebook page that relates to our topic. And so this is what I asked. If you could pick one word to describe your life in this upcoming year, one word to define what you want your life to be about, what would it be? And do you know, 150 people answered quickly. I mean, so people are thinking about this. Obedient, changed, transformation, discipleship, contentment, grace, perseverance. I love this. So I want you to talk about the inspiration behind this one word. You're a driven guy. You're a goal setter. I'm driven. I'm a goal setter. This doesn't, you know, not everybody's wired that way. But I think you simplified it to even more than a list of ought to's and should do. So talk about the inspiration behind one word that will change your life.
Well, about 15 years ago, Dan Britton, my co-author, and John Gordon, who is a great friend of ours who's joined us on this project, about 15 years ago, Dan came to me and he challenged me because we had spent probably 6 or 7 years together kind of mapping out game plans for the year. We were like, hey, we were setting those resolutions. We were mapping out the things we were going to accomplish from year to year. And a friend of ours, Steve Fitzhugh, a former player with the Denver Broncos, challenged Dan and said, listen, I know you got your game plan, but what's your one word for the year? And Dan thought about it, and he went into this sermon, this message about all the things he was going to accomplish.
Many words.
Yeah, many words. And he said, Dan, I don't think you get it. Hold on. He kind of holds his hand up. I don't think you get it. I'm asking for one word. And Dan really couldn't get it to one word. And he said, look, it's going to take me some time. So he went back, discovered his word, and then shared this concept with me. Now, we had run through our failures and false starts with our resolutions and our game plan, and I was just frustrated enough to give it a shot. I really thought it was too good to be true, to be honest. But I said, I'm craving simplicity so badly that I'm willing to give it a shot. And God gave me my word for that first year, and we've been doing it ever since because we've experienced the power of simplicity and the magnitude of life change that can happen when you narrow the focus.
And so this word can and probably should change from year to year. Is that right?
Every single year. You know, we really believe that God has a word for each one of us for 1 year, that he wants to do things in us and through us by focusing, by narrowing our focus to that word. And he does incredible things throughout all aspects of our life. But it is. It's one word for 1 year because God, he has other parts of the story that he wants to write, other things that he wants to refine in us so that we can become the man or become the woman of God we're made to be.
Hmm. So I want you to do this for me. Explain the difference between a to-do goal and a to-be goal, one being something we accomplish versus what we become. Make the distinction between these two.
Yeah, well, all of our resolutions were typically focused on things that we were going to get done. You know, it was like a check-the-box moment, and you sound like that type of person. You like to check off the list, and we did. And we focused so much of our change on the activity, the things that we do, rather than who we are. And I can change your behavior for a short time, but if I change your heart, then I know your behavior is gonna experience lasting change. You know, it's like with your kids. When you discipline them, you're really not – you don't want them to just stop what they're doing. You actually want them to have an understanding of it, a change of heart so that they do it for the right reasons, the right way going forward. So this idea is that all lasting life change has to originate from the inside out. Change who I am before change what I do.
You know, it really does. It has to have to come out of conviction, because if you have conviction, you'll pay a price, right?
Oh, yeah.
Versus the ought to or the should do, or somebody puts something, you really ought to eat better. You really ought to exercise. But if you see the life benefit and the reason it should be a core value, suddenly you will pay a price to, you know, to bring that to fruition. Well, I'm talking to Jimmy Page today. He's written a new book, co-authored it with some friends, Dan Britton and John Gordon. One word that will change your life. You can literally read this in about 45 minutes. It's like a little handy coach. It'll help you define your one word. And it's the perfect time, January 31st, perfect time to have this book in your hand. And the publisher was generous enough to give us 7 copies. So I want to know from you, If you had to pick it now, we're going to walk you through the process of how you get that word. But if you've got a word in your head, I want to know what it is. Otherwise, if you've got a question for our guests, we welcome that as well. Opening the phone lines now, first seven people to get on the line, on the air, will get a copy. Otherwise, you can email me the question as well. So 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@faithradionet.com. Well, I love this statement, Jimmy. Our formula is not rooted in our strength and resolve, but in surrender and simplicity. It's not based on temporary inspiration, but in narrowing our focus. I want you to say more about that.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, we typically will attack a situation where we want to get better in it. We'll just roll up our sleeves and we go to work. And you know what? Truthfully, there's some value there. You know, I can muster enough willpower in order to change certain things for a period of time. But if anyone has tried to lose weight or they've tried to do things, change a bad habit, they realize that willpower alone really doesn't get it done. And we discovered this is part of that to do versus to be, is that you've got to connect to the why. Why is it important that I lose 10 pounds? Well, if it's important so that I have the energy and the vitality to be good for my family and to play with my kids and raise a healthy family, then that why might be big enough for you to overcome the obstacles. But a lot of times we just roll up our sleeves and we run out of willpower at some point and we slip back into the failure and the frustration that we typically experience.
So tell me about your first word, your first year, and how you played that out.
My first word was simplify. And it's kind of ridiculous because that is exactly what I was craving in year one. And I think it was really me selecting the word rather than God revealing the word. And we've learned over time how to discern the difference between something we just are picking versus something that God is revealing. Because we really do believe that God is writing his story. Oh. He's writing history in us and through us.
That's so good.
But man, that first year was simplified because I knew I needed to say no to some things in order to be able to say yes to the right things. I knew that I needed to cut out some of the activity and some of the pace in order to be better in my relationships at home, in order to really order my priorities properly. So for me, simplicity or simplify became a rallying cry, a focal point in all aspects of my life.
So good. See those calls coming in, 877-933-2484. If you were to pick one word to mark your life in this next year, and we're going to talk about the difference between picking something and letting God name it for you. But even so, just curious, we have seven copies of Jimmy Page's book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. I'm telling you, it's like a little handy coach, 45 minutes to read this thing. It'll help you walk you through that spiritual process of really helping to define what does God want this year to be about for you? Got David calling from Minneapolis. David, welcome.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir? How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
We're doing great. So what's your word?
Glory.
I love it. I like how you say it. Tell us a little bit more.
Well, Genesis, man is made in the image of God. Psalm 8, a little lower than the Almighty himself. The Apostle Paul, mankind is the glory of God. And the glory, the radiance of a king. Glow is a beam, a ray is a king.
I love it. Very good. What do you say, Jim? You want to say a word to David?
Yeah, I love it. I think there's going to, you know, with every word, there comes great opportunities for growth and great challenges. You know, I think you're going to be sharpened and molded in it and shaped because glory, sometimes we seek the glory. Sometimes we steal God's glory. Sometimes we like to take credit when things are going right. And I think that sometimes we think it's going to be, I'm giving God glory, and that's true. I think part of it is going to be this process of revelation about ways that maybe we steal God's glory, or maybe we feel good when we receive some of that glory, some of that secondhand glory. So I think it's going to be a year of growth. And man, if you live in such a way to give God glory with your physical health, with the relationships that you have, with, you know, your emotional health,
your finances,
money. I mean, it would be a transformational year if you literally glorify God in all aspects of your life.
And Jimmy, you make such a good point, which I picked up from your book as well, that we might think it's going to be all a positive pursuit, and it is, but it reveals need in our life. It reveals areas where of correction at times too, doesn't it? I mean, there are highs and lows that go with it, right?
Oh, there sure are. Mm-hmm. I remember 1 year my word was detox. And detox is always associated with an alcohol or drug problem. So I'll go on the record to say I didn't have an alcohol or drug problem.
No more Snicker bars, right?
No more Snickers. Now that could be part of it. Oreo cookies. But I'm telling you, that word, that little word detox of, you know, let us then purify ourselves from everything that contaminates both body and soul became this a mirror. You know, I feel like a mirror was being held up on my life, and I realized that I was making food choices that were not supporting who I believed I was from a healthy perspective. It was, you know, it was violating my values. And then other things in my life, things that I would see, things that I would do or say, I realized that I had a lot of work to do. And I never would have envisioned that at the beginning of the year.
It's so amazing. It's like God raises the bar with his grace, but he gives you the grace to rise up to it. Well, we have Carlene calling from DeForest, Wisconsin. She's just got a minute. Carlene, you're on the air. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I was just so excited when I heard this topic, and last year was the first year that I chose a word instead of making a New Year's resolution, and it was just like the best thing I've done, because last year's word was contentment, and there were so many ups and downs in our life last year, and I just had to remind myself that I was content right where I was, right where God had me.
Mm.
My parents' house burnt down, and so they're living with us now, and though it's crazy sometimes, it's I'm content, you know, and this year my word is intentional, so we'll see what happens with that one.
I love it, Carlene. Isn't that great that she picked it up? Do you want to say anything, Jimmy?
Well, I love the word intentional, and I think it's kind of the banner that Dan and I and John probably have over our life as a whole. But intentional, you're going to be faced with procrastination. You're going to be faced with other things that prevent you from being intentional. But at the same time, imagine if you look at the key relationships in your life and you say, God, what do you want? What intentionality do you want me to apply to speaking a good word into their life? What are the things that they need that I can be intentional about providing that really makes a difference in their life? I love intentional because it's mostly outwardly focused.
Mm. And, you know, again, I hear you saying we're going to be tested in some of these areas, but it is so worth it because you come out on top, you persevere, and you gain ground in your faith and in your life. So good. Diane's calling from Cedar Falls. Diane, welcome.
Hello. Thanks.
Hi. Yes. What's your word?
Faithful.
Mm. What do you say, Jimmy?
Before, and today I heard your broadcast, and I thought, Lord, what's the verse? And it just popped out from my recent reading. And because it's hard for me to be faithful in the sense of always doing things consistently, because I have fibromyalgia, which leads to incredible tiredness. I might be bipolar, but I don't think so. Mm. My doctor says yes. 2 psychiatrists say absolutely not, so take your pick.
Go with the absolutely not.
Yeah, go with that, right. Mm-hmm. Which answer do I like better?
Yeah. I pick you. So, Diane, I'm gonna have Jimmy speak to that, the faithful. And what do you say, Jimmy?
Well, I love faithful because, you know, I believe that the model of Jesus was that he did and said only what the Father asked him to do and say on any given day. And a lot of times when you feel like there's a standard that you should be doing, and sometimes in your situation you may not have the energy to do all the things that you wanted to, but if you say at the beginning of that day, Lord, let me be faithful with the opportunities you give me today, and let me be satisfied that I have been faithful with those little things and not worry about the things that didn't get done. Lord, just today, tell me what to do and what to say, and I'll be faithful with those things.
Mm, so good. Jill's calling from Minneapolis, and she's got a word. Jill, welcome.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? Good. What's
good.
Your word?
My word is encourager.
Oh, wow.
I'm encouraged by God on my daily walk every moment of every day, and I have the opportunity through his encouragement and through what he does in my life to be an encourager for all of those around me.
Mm.
So if I can be an encourager and encourage her in their faith, in their daily walk, in their mental health, in just, you know, in the good times and the bad times, the hard times, the tough times. But if I can give them just a little bit of encouragement, that might mean enough to just turn things around for somebody.
You're a good gal, Jill. What do you say, Jimmy?
Man, you're going to be a great friend.
Yeah. I mean, you want to call me every day?
Yeah. My experience is no one is over-encouraged.
Amen.
I've never met anybody that said, no, I don't need any encouragement. I'm good.
Right.
We're all under-encouraged. So I think you're going to be a dynamic friend, a great listening ear. You're going to really have to discern what people need at the moment so that it's not just puffery or flattery, but that it's indeed a word from God. I think that encouragement is breathing courage into others in their particular situation. So you're going to really need to rely on God's word to bring his word and his solution and his life.
So good. We're going to try to get one more in here before the bottom of the break. I see a couple more calls coming in. Nubia is calling from Bruno. Welcome.
Hi, Tulsi. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
So good to have you. What's your word today?
My word, it's going to be believe.
Love it.
And it is because most than one time I find myself trying to get my work and the things going in the world by myself, and I forget that God is in control. So now when I roll over in the bed for 5-10 minutes trying to sleep, I say, I believe. I believe in you, God, and I believe that you're in control, and because of you, I'm able to make it.
Oh, you're so sweet, Nubia. What do you want to say, Jimmy?
Wow, that's a word that Evelise actually chose the year that she was diagnosed with cancer. So we have a lot of experience with that word. I'll say this. Belief and faith are kind of inextricably woven together. You know, they're partners, belief and faith. And I love that you said, God, you're in control, because I think we need to believe two fundamental things. One is that God is good, and two is that he can be trusted, and that in the end, probably number three, is that he's going to work it out for his glory and our good. And I think that's where you're going to really see God move in powerful ways, that God's going to work all things together for good. And I think it's going to be a powerful transformational year for you.
Thank you so much, Nubia. You're such a sweet spirit. We're going to squeeze one more in here. Anita is calling. Anita, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. What's your word?
Focus.
Focus. How'd you come upon that word?
Well, because I'm always trying to do too many things at once. And then during my quiet time on December 19th, I picked up, I'd done my Bible reading and my praying, and I just said, let me see what Jesus Calling had to say to me today. And just when I read it, I knew the Lord was speaking directly to me, where it says, do not be weighed down by clutter in your life. Lots of little chores to be done, to do sometime, etc. And at the end of it, I just wrote, dear Lord Jesus, thank you. Forgive me. This is where I live today. Help me to follow your instruction that I can have victory in this place. And the big thing was, I was to do only what needed to be done that day.
Beautiful.
And then put the rest of, and then the other things, just put it to the back of my mind and focus on Christ. So if you have Jesus Calling, read December 19th again. And so I just feel every day since that day, I keep saying when I am faced with stuff, because there's a lot of clutter on the dining table, I just say, Lord, you say I'm only to do what needs to be done today.
Love it. What do you say, Jimmy?
Man, I'll tell you, clutter chokes the life out of life. It consumes you. And a lot of times, the distractions of life are what prevent you from really experiencing God's blessing. And, you know, we are so busy as a people, aren't we? I mean, we're frantic in the pace. And I love this idea of focus, because it makes you dial in on the most important things for that day. So it'll help you reprioritize some things, and you may, like I did the first year, you may say no to some things that are good things in order to focus on the most important things.
Don't you feel like we sometimes think we're going to miss something if we don't scatter ourselves and have our hands in too many things? And yet God is a God of acceleration. We're so much better off simplifying, waiting on him, creating some space for him to speak, and only put our hands to the things that he wants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes we feel like we're not going to be important if we're not there.
Right. Wow, that's
so
good.
So our value is linked into us always being there and always saying yes, and it's just such a trap. Your identity is not in what you do, it's who you are.
Yeah. We just have about a minute before we're going to go to break. So I want you to say a little bit more about the busyness, because to me, this one word is sort of the antidote. It's like to get focus, and it really is about simplifying, saying, what do I want my life and my year to be about? Talk about how different that is from how we normally live.
Yeah, busyness is a killer. You know, the Chinese characters for busyness are a heart and killing. It literally means that your life is compromised by our busyness. And we talk in this book a lot about unplugging. You know, and that first step, step one is to look in. And it's that idea of unplugging from the noise and the busyness of life so that we can ask God and contemplate and hear from God in a significant way. The busyness just interferes with our communication with God.
Boy, really so glad you tuned in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Jimmy Page about his book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. What a delight to hear from so many of you. We'd sure love to keep taking your calls. After the break, we're going to talk about the three steps that Jimmy defines. Prepare your heart, which means to look in. Discover your word, which means to look up. And live your word, which means to look out. He's going to explain how we can walk through these so we can really discern the word that actually God has for us. But we're keeping those phone lines open as well. If you want to talk to Jimmy, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More with Jimmy Page in just a moment.
Every day there's a hope to remember. Yesterday's been washed in the water. All I need, I have found in my life. Jesus, more of you. Jesus, you are the one. You are the one in everything. Jesus, my heart.
Oh, I love that song. That's Chris Tomlin. I'm so glad you tuned in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have our friend Jimmy Page on. He's written a great book, One Word That Will Change Your Life. I'm telling you what, you can read this thing in 45 minutes, and it'll walk you through bringing focus and discerning what God really wants. What's the story he's writing with your life in this next year? And that does require some solitude. It requires to create some space for God to speak and to really discern what God's saying. We're going to walk through three steps that kind of help you discern that word, but I want to take another call from Nancy from Wisconsin. I'd love to hear from you as well. 877-933-2484. Nancy, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. So what's your word?
Commitment.
Talk to us. How'd you come upon that one?
Well, like you, Suzy, I may have Lyme disease, like you had Lyme disease. So I've been given information by the doctor ahead of time about what I have to do to heal myself, and you know, it's a tough road. So commitment is the word for me.
Bless you. I want to just keep her on the line if we could for a second. Jimmy, do you want to say anything to Nancy?
Well, you know, I've been in the wellness industry for a long, long time as well, and in my family, several of us, myself, my wife, and a couple of the boys have had Lyme's disease, and it's a tough road, and I know you had a tough struggle with it as well, Suzy, and for me, there are a lot of natural approaches to this too that can really help your body recover. So maybe offline we can talk more about that. But commitment, I love the word commitment, but the caution is that you tend to take it and it's in your own strength. You know, commitment's one of those words that, hey, I'm rolling up my sleeve. I got to do this. If I don't do this, it isn't getting done. And God is going to say to you, I think, over and over this year, surrender. Surrender your commitment, surrender your effort, and just do what I ask you to do today. But don't feel the weight of commitment. Commitment can actually feel heavy at some points, and with God, that burden should never be heavy. It's always light because Christ is helping you to carry it.
You know, I think that's such a prophetic word for Nancy. In fact, as Jimmy was talking, Nancy, I was thinking that the Lord is going to say, I'm going to show you how committed I am to you, that he's made a commitment to you. And I agree with you. There's a lot of natural things that I did as well, Nancy. But one thing I'll tell you, when I was on the IV, and I was used to being a fitness person, and I literally went down to one shower a week because it was all I could had the energy for, I remember being on the couch going, if I stop moving, my joints will freeze up and crystallize. So my my commitment to movement was once a week rolling my ankles and my knees and stretching my arms. And where I used to be able to work out really hard, that was my big high ground. But I feel like that piece of commitment, finding the high ground, Lord, what's that one place where I'm not giving up my life? You know what I'm saying? Where I'm trying to find the high road. That, I know, kept me fighting. So hopefully that will help you. But thank you so much. Dick is calling from Wilmer. And Dick, welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Susie.
Absolutely. What's your word today?
Work.
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 That makes me tired.
I know I don't like the word, but I feel God is calling me to work. I have a mental illness, and I'm not working.
Oh, bless your heart. What do you say, Jimmy?
Boy, it inspires me. You know, when he first said it, I thought, oh, gosh, my word's going to be vacation.
Yeah.
But under the circumstances, But under the circumstances, I think this is what is so fascinating about this process. God has a word for you. He really does. Mm. And if we can discern it, he will work in miraculous ways through that word to transform you into the likeness of his son. So for you, I just look at it and I think, man, this is going to be a great year because I believe you'll be back to work. And I don't know what that work looks like or what you're capable of doing, but boy, there's nothing like feeling productive.
That's right.
And I'm sure that God's going to bless you that way this year.
God bless you, Nick. God bless you, Nancy. You're brave, brave people. This has been so good, Jimmy. So, so good. Okay, so let's talk about these three steps. Prepare your heart, which means to look in, discover your word, look up, and live your word, look out. So let's start with prepare your heart. Talk about that process.
Well, it's the first step for a reason. It really is necessary. A lot of people will just jump in and get their word, and that's okay. We did that for a long time, but we discovered that there is value in preparing. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 6 hours sharpening my axe. And the principle of preparation before activity or before discovery is really a true principle. So we tell people, you know, you've got to unplug. You've got to do two things, unplug and ask. The first step is, you know, get away from the technology, whatever those distractions and noise and busyness, whatever those things are that keep you from getting in that still space, you know, where you can really contemplate and hear from God. You've got to unplug and set aside some time. The second part is asking probing questions. Really, it's asking probing questions of God so that he will bring enlightenment to areas in your life that maybe need change or that he particularly wants to work on.
Okay, so let's talk about these questions. I love these. What do I need? What's in my way? And what needs to go? So talk about what do I need. You're asking God that question, Lord, what do I need most? Is that right?
That's right. What do I need most? You know, if you could pinpoint a key area or two that needs the most change, I believe when I've done this, God has revealed not only one thing, but he's revealed a number of things. And what we're doing in this first phase is really gathering information, if you will. It's like when David said, Lord, search my heart and reveal stuff in me. You know, that's what we're asking for is, Lord, in my life, what do I need most? And then the second one is, what's in my way? You know, are there obstacles for growth and change? You know, could it be maybe I've got some friends in my life that are bad influences? Maybe food is an addiction and maybe that's in my way. Maybe it's a pattern of thinking. You know, sometimes we get stuck in a rut in the words we speak to ourselves. We don't even realize how negative or critical we are of ourselves, or how something that somebody said in our distant past is revisited over and over again. Some of those things prevent us from becoming the man or woman that God wants us to be. So what's in my way? And then the third question is, what needs to go? Now, I look at this as, what's the stuff that we're holding on to, like unforgiveness or bitterness or maybe we feel like we've made so many mistakes or we failed so many times that life change is not going to happen, and we're holding on to that stuff, and maybe we need to just release that stuff and let it go.
Wow, this is so good. So with this first step, prepare your heart. You're looking in. You're asking these questions. What do I need? What's in my way? What needs to go? Can you give us an example from your own life of how you got quiet before the Lord? You asked these questions, and then he answered.
Well, this year, my word is breathe. And I do spend some time in contemplation and getting those quiet moments. And for me also, it's not necessarily, you know, in the quiet time or in my devotion time, for me, I hear very, very clearly from God when I'm exercising. You know, mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't know if it's increased oxygen to my brain, but I really hear from God when I'm moving. So I remember literally the day before New Year's this year, I was running on a treadmill and I was all done and I was heading, I was getting ready for the day. And God said, your word is breathe. He said, because what you need most is breathing room. You need margin. You know, you need some space between what you have and what you need. And, man, I didn't want the word, to be honest. I was like, I think it's a dumb word. I don't like the word.
Can I have a better word?
Yeah, can I trade that in for a couple vowels? I mean, I don't know. It was awful. And he said, no, it's breathe. And I really wanted a cool word because, there's a sense that if you write this book that you should have a cool word. You know, last year my word was power. I thought that was cool. Maybe that's why I needed the word. But this year he said, no, this is what you need. And these are some things that are in your way, and I'm going to use this simple word to refine you.
Wow. You know, I'm thinking as you're talking last year when I was seeking the Lord just deeply for 2012 and just saying what, and I didn't even know this concept one word, but I was asking, I am focused. I'm just like, narrow it down for me. And the Lord gave me that word faith, and he said, you're going to experience great expansion and a sword will pierce your heart. And both things happen. And he's like, you need to know that I've got you and you've got me. And I can't even tell you what that meant. Hearing that ahead of time, knowing some of the things I was going to be walking through, boggled my mind. And so it is so important to make time and space because God sees down the road. And so for us to get some kind of marching orders and to be shored up is extremely important, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, we've got to hear the word from God because he has specific plans, specific ways he's going to stretch us this year. And we don't want to miss it.
Well, you said a little bit about this at the beginning, but I'd love for you to expand before we go to the second stage here. But you say that the why is so much more important and always more important than the what. Explain why that is.
Well, we have a saying in our house. If it's important enough to you, then you'll find a way. If not, then you'll find an excuse.
Wow.
And it's this idea that if your why is big enough, if the reason behind what I'm doing is big enough, I will overcome any obstacle, any challenge to accomplish it. So the why is that I have to tap into why this is important. And if it's important to God, and this word is literally from God, if it's from God, there's an important reason. And it's really a process of discovering your why over time because it's revealed. And you know, sometimes you have that aha moment when you encounter something during the year and you go, bingo, now I know why this is my word.
Wow. Okay, say that phrase again that you use in your household.
Yeah, if it's important enough to you, you will find a way. If not, you'll find an excuse.
Wow, that is, that one knocks you right between the eyes. Okie dokie. So the next stage is discover your word and look up. And so say a word about that.
Yeah, looking up is really important because, you know, we know that a word is meant for you. We're looking for a God word, not a good word. We want God to reveal it to us. We really believe that God still speaks today. You know, even you think about it throughout Scripture. You think about how God spoke to young Samuel. You think about how he spoke to Gideon and Moses and Abraham and Ezra. I mean, throughout the Scripture, Mary, Joseph, Paul, everybody. He gets our attention by speaking. Now, sometimes it's audible, and sometimes it's not. For me, it's not audible. But I know that I've learned to discern the voice of God. You know, Jesus says, I'm the shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. Now, the only way we can know his voice is to get to know him, spend time with him. And that's what this is about. This is about plugging into God in a significant way and listening up, being still long enough to actually discern the voice of God over all of the negative voices, over my own desires, to say, God, what's your will, what's your plan for me today?
How much, how big of a role do others play in this basic stage of life? As far as, do you have other people speak into that, or do you wait till you've discerned the word and you know, consider the community aspect for accountability?
Well, I just did a small group on, a men's group for our church. Okay, we got 100 guys, and I started by asking them to actually look ahead and determine, hey, what's the legacy that you want to leave? You know, at your funeral, the most important people to you, what do you want them to say about you? Okay? So I had them go home. This was the homework, and say, here's your homework. Go to those people that are most important to you, your spouse, your kids, and ask them a couple of questions. The first one is this. What's one word that you think of when you think of me? What's one word that you think of when you think of me, both positive and negative? Okay? And then the second question is, how do I make you feel? So the first one is, what's one word that you think of when you think of me, positive and negative? And then the second column is, how do I make you feel? So I gathered and I asked the men, gather information about those who are closest to you, how they think of you, how they experience you. And that will help shape your word for the year as well. Now, that's not part of the book. That's something separate. It's going to probably come out in a later edition. It's kind of exciting for us to think. But there is some input. But ultimately, you really want all those things to just contribute as you listen to God.
So, for example, if the question is asked, what's one word you think of when you think of me? And they say, okay, productive, but on the negative side, no margin, or, you know, overextended, or something like that. Is that what you're saying, where it helps you narrow down what your need then is?
Absolutely, big time. I'll give you my example, okay? I'll be transparent.
Okay.
Everyone, now I'm going to get emails.
Is this going to be another dumb word?
absolutely dumb words. I told them that when they told me these words. I told the guys, ask the question over and over again until you get the answer you want. That's the assignment.
I love it. So
every one of my kids, four kids and my wife, so we had five answers. Everyone on the negative side was consistent. The word on the positive side was a variety of things, different things that you would be excited to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the negative was every one of them said the word, and they were all independent, said intense. So now my daughter, who's 10, used the word tough. I thought I liked that word better. Tough is better than intense to me. But at the same time, it was interesting. I had already chosen my word. God had already revealed his word to me, breathe. And wouldn't you know that the negative experience that those closest to me have deals with my intensity.
Wow.
And I thought, are you kidding me? God,
that's
seriously?
Amazing.
I did it already. Well, you know, I got it. I'm going to work.
Well, breathe is the new cool word, so you've made it cool,
clearly.
Right, Jimmy?
Clearly, yes.
That is amazing. So here again, we've got to be willing to take inventory before the Lord and be humble enough to take inventory with others. But to me, this is a catalyst to a more fruitful, focused life. And our negative, our blind spots impact people. So to be able to be humble enough to be willing to have them speak into your life like that is just powerful. It's great.
It sure is.
All right. So prepare your heart, discover your word, and then live your word. Say a word about that.
Yeah, live your word is kind of where the rubber meets the road. You know, it's actually our favorite part of the process, because now is when things start to take shape. You know, it's when we put the word into practice. So we literally know that if we don't put this into practice, it's going to be, you know, in the corner like the long list of all the other resolutions that we have. So we will make sure that we remain focused. And we talk about three easy things to make your word stick. The first one is to keep it front and center. You know, if you just select a word and you put it in your journal and that's the last time you see it, it's going to be hard to keep it top of mind. So one of the things that we do, and we'll show you even in the book, every New Year's Eve, Dan's family and our family get together here at our house, and they fly in from Kansas City, and we sit down and we all paint our words on a 9x12 piece of canvas. It's framed, and then we post it in our kitchen, because everybody ends up in the kitchen. So all four of the kids' words are posted up there neatly on the wall, and my wife and my words, they're on the wall as well. So they're a constant reminder and point of discussion. So you can imagine sitting down around the dinner table, and we just take inventory every couple weeks. You know, hey, what's God doing? How's he using your word? What are ways that he's shaping you and revealing what he wants to do in your life through your word? So keep it front and center. And, you know, there's 20 other ways to keep it front and center. I use it as my screensaver. I took a picture of what I painted, and I put it on my computer here, so it's on my screensaver. There's apps that you can use that keep it on your phone. You know, all those things kind of work together to keep it front and center.
So good. Talk about the role of prayer and scripture in continuing to walk it out.
Yeah, one of the things that we talk about is once God reveals his word to you, it's really important that you find key verses in the Bible that speak to that word so that you can memorize those verses, so that you can encounter those verses throughout the year. So, for instance, if your word is breathe, for instance, Genesis chapter 2 talks about how man didn't become a living, breathing person until God breathed the breath of life into him. So as I look at that verse, I know that I have no life apart from him breathing life into me. So every day I have a real sense when I take those first mindful breaths in the morning, God, I need you to breathe life into me so that I can breathe life into others. So scripture becomes really important, and we believe that real life change really is facilitated by the Word of God.
Yeah,
it's not our best efforts. It really is by reading and learning and growing and putting His Word into practice.
Boy, when you have a focus, when you're like, you know, aligning your life with God's Word, and then you've got His Word to reinforce it and to gird you up, I mean, it brings the Word to life in a whole new way. It's just powerful. So when you look back over some of these years where you've had a Word, now looking back over your shoulder, how would you say your life was impacted by those particular words? And how are you different today because of them?
Well, I'll tell you this. I feel like I'm on track.
You know, very like, cool.
Yeah, if you were to say, hey, you know, a lot of people start well but don't finish well. I really believe that by doing this process every year, year in and year out, seeking God, watching him work in a particular word for you for that year, that it really does keep you on track. It keeps you on that path, that narrow path that leads to life. Now, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It you know, I'm far from perfect. Just ask my family. I mean, you know, I'm like everybody else. But I do know that this one-word exercise creates tremendous focus and intentionality. We used that word earlier. And I would say I'm being shaped into the man that God has made me to be. So, you know, I look at the greats of history, Martin Luther King Jr. You know, if I think of his legacy word, for instance, it's probably equality. You know, if I think of Abraham Lincoln, the one legacy word that's going to mark his life, I probably think unity or emancipation. You know, everybody's life will have a legacy word. I think that God puts a stamp on the end of our life as only he can do. He puts a word that will mark that life in such a profound way in history. But I think that all of these words that we'll experience over these many years will help to paint that ultimate picture so that when the legacy word comes down from God, he says, man, it's finished. This is the word for your life.
Wow. Powerful, really. When you think he is writing a story, to stick with that analogy, these different seasons are like different chapters, and he wants to write them. And so, of course, the enemy's ploy then would be to get us living in reaction. We talk about this a lot on the show, reaction to our fears, reaction to our busyness, versus in response to God. So it's like taking the power away from the enemy, away from the rat race culture, and putting it back in God's hands where it belongs, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, it's the difference between being, as you said, reactive or proactive. And I love what you said. The word you just said is responsive. I mean, I'm sure there's some listeners that are probably hearing from God. Maybe their word is responsive. Maybe it's, let me respond to the voice of God only. Let me, this year, only believe the things about myself that God says about me. Let me crowd out those other voices. But, man, I love this idea that we're not living haphazardly. We're living intentionally, and we're living with a responsiveness to God as he moves year to year. I love your chapter illustration. That's right on the mark.
Well, I want you to, this has been so powerful. We just have a few minutes left. But also, you mentioned in the book that the idea that my one word and your one word will positively impact others. That actually it should, right? If we're hearing from God, just how we evolve as believers and as people of integrity, it's going to ripple effect in a positive way in the lives of others, right?
Absolutely. You know, especially those that know your word, you know, the inner, that close inner circle of people that you will reveal your word to, it impacts them because they understand they're looking for ways in your life to spur you on to become the person you're made to be. So they've got a vested interest in it as well. But as they see you respond differently based upon your word and based upon how God's working in you, it inspires them to do the same thing. And We've seen companies embrace this. I had a gentleman just the other week, a friend of mine, bought the book for everybody in his company, and it is sweeping through his company, through department by department. They're all embracing this. Sports teams, oh, my gosh, incredible stories of unity but individual responsibility in the locker room. Just some neat, neat stories of how God is using it to kind of create a movement.
Mm. And, you know, that is just such a powerful picture, too, that when we respond personally to God, it's always for a bigger story than we can even imagine. We just got to respond to him in the privacy of our prayer room. But his plan is just always so much bigger than ours, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It's never really about us, is it?
No, it isn't. Absolutely. Which is very cool. So I'm going to squeeze one more question in before I ask you to pray. Think about Jesus. What do you think is his one word?
It's either redeem or love,
rescue.
Mm. Or rescue, mm-hmm, or save. Mm. You know, I think it's not fair with Jesus because he's got about 100 words.
Yeah, right. And he does them all
It's not really fair, yeah.
Yeah.
But he left that word, I think, rescue. I think rescue's probably it, and love's all up in there as well. But, yeah. Jesus is he kind of leads the way on that one.
Mm. Now you have a website that they can visit for more resources. Can you give us that website?
Yes, it's getoneword.com. Very easy, getoneword.com.
And what will they find there to help them?
The great news is on there are free downloads. They're posters where you can put your word in and download it and print it and have it in your office or on your desk. There's a lot of different resources there that you can download for free that make sure that you stay on track and that you make your one word stick for the year.
Well, Jimmy, this has been awesome. I just want to thank you so much. And as we wrap up, I'm thinking of that person right now who needs fresh wind in their sails and some fresh purpose in their lives. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to proclaim how good you are and how personal you are. And Lord, we trust that even now for our listeners, that you have a particular word for them for this year, that you still speak, that you care, that you're intimately involved in our lives, Lord, that you're that personal. And Lord, we just pray that those that are listening would discover that one word and that they'd be able to focus this year and that you would breathe new life into each one of our listeners, that you would bring the kind of transformation that other people would see and go, man, God is doing something special in their life. Lord, would you bring that life change for us this year through the power of one word? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. My friend, thank you. And come back next month and we'll talk fitness, okay?
Absolutely.
God bless you,
sir. It's been a pleasure.
You too. Be blessed.
Yesterday's been washed in the water.
Thanks so much for listening today. What a fantastic discussion with Jimmy. Well, a reminder that you can listen to this full program on our website at myfaithradio.com. You can download it to your computer and even share it with your friends through Facebook, email, or Twitter. Well, be sure to listen in next week as we begin our spring fundraiser. We are so excited about what God is doing through Faith Radio, and we have a lot of fun at these share events, and we would so love it if you would partner with us to bring the gospel to those across the Upper Midwest. Well, finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.